And, I know Bags is Andy Baggerly's perspiring, covering a young cub and an old salty lion veteran. Andy, who's giving you more stories? Who are you enjoying more? Can you enjoy both of these guys any more than Christian Arroyo and Big Mike Morse?
Well, I mean, it really was pretty neat how that came together, right? I mean, it's one of the better regular season games that, you know, I've covered, and we've seen a lot of them the other day when they came back against the Dodgers. And you know, it's old magic and fresh blood, and that they got both of it in the same game. And then obviously the most important thing, besides the celebrating the future or the past in Morse's case, and rediscovering that power stroke, was the present day and being able to actually, you know, come back and not be a run short this time like they have been so many times, both this year and last year. And they really needed that one. I thought Hunter Pence did it best. You know, you get a game like that, and that really can kind of change your season around. And if they can see it through this weekend, they've already gotten out of last place, and maybe they can get within sniffing distance of 500 by the end of this month, and that certainly wouldn't be bad the way the month started.
Yep.
Andy, I thought Wednesday night with the Morse home run, and, you know, just the way the Wednesday night went, the Arroyo home run as well, and then the crazy at bat at the end with Pence. And, you know, you've seen baseball for so many years. You were giving us all those stories yesterday of Angel Stadium in the early days and food and all that. But I'll tell you something. Wednesday night, I got the feeling that the pennant race started on Wednesday night. I really did. And like I tell people, the Giants spotted everyone 20 games, and now let's play baseball. And I just felt there was a difference in the ball club.
Well, I think it's, you know, we're a long way from the pennant race, but I do think that there is a possibility, and there is for maybe four or five teams that they're going to play their way out of it in April. And they're basically going to get into too big of a hole to crawl out of. And the Giants are fortunate in that they did the opposite last year. They had the best record in baseball at the All-Star break, and they could be abysmal in the second half and find a way to limp in. And I think, you know, you look at how they ended last season, and then they had the bad start in April, tied for the worst start ever by a Giants team through 19 games, 6-13. And they could start to think, hey, is the second half last year who we really are? You know, and the more you play like that and you lose series, the more that those kind of thoughts can creep in and cement themselves. So it really was important, and almost like playing an independent stretch game to go out and try to at least win or split that series with the Dodgers. It would have been great if they could have taken three or four. But, yeah, no, I do agree in the sense that I think that you can play your way out of it early. And the Giants were, you know, in all honesty, threatening to do that and still might if they can't sustain some momentum here.
What's your take on Christian Arroyo? How do you feel about him?
Well, you know, I think the thing that's most impressive is that, you know, he hit a Clayton Kershaw fastball. He hit a Sergio Romo slider. He hit a Julio Urias curveball. And then he comes up with in a tie game in the eighth inning and looks for a pitch and drives it. I mean, he shows the ability to cover the plate and to hit a lot of different pitching styles. And that's really eye-opening. You don't see a whole lot of that from a young player who comes up. And we've seen a lot of Giants prospects come up, and you think, well, okay, this person isn't a top 100 in Baseball America's list or whatever, but, you know, you look at what they did in the minors and you have some hope for, you know, whether it's a Brett Pill or John Bowker, different people have come up, but they have holes in their swings, and those holes get exposed after a while if they don't make adjustments. And I think that Arroyo is going to be a little tougher for pitchers to really break down weaknesses. If there's anything that can get him into trouble, it's that he's so talented that he can get the bat on a lot of different pitches, and maybe pitchers are going to start to try to throw him stuff out of the zone that maybe he can hit but not barrel up. And that'll be the temptation he has to avoid and really narrow in on his zone. But you can tell the kid is a talented hitter. He's not phased. He's confident. And gosh, to have this kind of start, I mean, he's wearing Will Clark's number, and not even Will Clark, you know, he might have hit his first big league homer off Nolan Ryan in his first pitch he saw in the big leagues, but even he didn't hit two in his first five games, and this kid's already got a couple.
Andy Baggerly, San Jose Mercury News on the UMA guest line, Marty and Pat out here at the Public House. I was just kicking it around with Marty, and I'd like to get your thoughts, Andy, is that if you go back to the beginning of this saga for Christian Arroyo, at least in terms of this year, if Jared Parker doesn't go down, Nunez doesn't go to left field, maybe Bobby Evans doesn't pull up Arroyo. What do you think?
Well, I mean, gosh, look at the lineup today. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it just got posted on some of my Twitter posts here. Not only do they have Belt in the outfield, they have Nunez in the outfield too. It's Belt in left and Nunez in right, and Drew Stubbs in center. So, I mean, this is not the way they drew it up at all. But Connor Gillespie's giving you good at-bats. They want to start him at third. They're keeping Arroyo at shortstop. They are going to put Brandon Crawford on the 10-day disabled list today. That was just put out there, in case you hadn't seen that. So, you know, they're going to be able to backdate it to begin on Wednesday, so the bereavement leave can count among those 10 days. But he's got that groin strain, and he's going to be out for at least another week. So we might see this alignment a little bit more.
Wow.
Andy, Matt Cain today, if you look at the last three starts of Matt Cain, have been just maybe the best three starts that the Giants have had this year. Hamstring issue for him, or just something just not even to think about?
Oh, no, I think you watch it. I think you're going to watch him very carefully, especially when he's had this in the past and thought he could get through it and then ended up he couldn't. So, you know, I think that they have to be reasonably sure that he's going to be all right, but they do have Chris Stratton, who's fresh, to back him up and who was really, really impressive at Coors Field and was impressive all spring, too. I mean, he's throwing the kind of fastball he had at Mississippi State. We haven't seen it in a while. So they're going to watch him real carefully, but they'll have Stratton behind him just in case.
Pence not in the lineup today, and I realize 5 for 25 against Chacin, but is there more to it than that? Why wouldn't he be in the lineup today?
Well, I can tell you, last night after the game, he had a big ice pack wrapping his back, so maybe he's having some back or side problems. That's probably a little more than I should speculate. I'm sure Bruce Bochy will address the beat writers in his session today. I'm actually off today. I'm enjoying a nice sunny, warm Saturday in the Bay Area, and our hockey guy Curtis Pashelka is good enough to back me up today. So, I'm sure we'll learn a little bit more and see if Pence has anything going on.
Boy, Andy Baggerly with us. Andy, one last thought for you, and I just had that feeling last night in the first inning. Giants finally scored in the first inning, and they got a little help from the error by the shortstop. But Morse came up, and there's something different about having him come up. He's a power hitter, and he takes that big swing. And this is a ball club that's got 16 home runs. Can you keep this guy in the lineup? Because I'm telling you, there's something different when he comes up to the plate. You anticipate that he's going to knock one out.
Well, he's starting today, and I think that he will get spot starts here and there. You can't just not start a guy and hope to have him as a weapon off the bench. I mean, there's only so many Lenny Harrises in the world. You got to get guys regular at bats to keep them sharp, and I think they're finding that out with Connor Gillespie here too. With Morse, I think the biggest thing that he gives you is off the bench and just being the guy that casts that long shadow in the dugout. And we talked about it a lot in spring training. You know, a lot of times he can just influence a move by just being there and being available. You know, let's say Joe Panik is coming up and a manager can bring in a lefty to face him. Well, maybe he doesn't because Bochy could pinch hit Morse, and all of a sudden you got Morse against the left-handed pitcher, and maybe the tying run is at the plate and Morse is a better threat to go deep. So now all of a sudden, just the threat of Michael Morse means that maybe you prevent a platoon matchup and you get a right-hander facing Panik instead. You know, those are the kind of things that a Morse can do for you over the course of a season. And sometimes it's going to end up being the difference in a game, even when he doesn't appear. So that's something the Giants haven't had. And I don't think you're going to see this guy grow into a role where he's going to get 400 at bats this season. But, you do have to give him occasional starts to keep him fresh and find out, what he's got and get his timing down. But for the most part, I think he's really going to help them, you know, as that threat off the bench.
Andy, one last question for me is Posey's in the lineup batting third today. And Henry Schulman, your colleague at the Chronicle, he wrote a note yesterday where he called Posey's at-bats or his three hits, his batting average of .357, extremely soft. I'm sure Buster wasn't stoked to read that. But what's going on with him? Is just this being 30-plus? Is it the concussion and maybe some lingering effects? What's your read on Buster Posey's lack of power?
Well, you know, I asked Bruce Bochy about that. I wrote that a couple days ago as well. Not that he was soft, but that he's hitting almost .370. He's got three RBIs. I mean, for goodness sakes, Christian Arroyo's got more RBIs than him already, which, you know, it's a context-dependent stat. We all know that. But you'd think hitting cleanup, you know, mostly every day for a month, you'd have more than three RBIs hitting, you know, close to .350. So, 17 of his 20 hits have been singles. And there's no question he hasn't been driving the ball. He was in the World Baseball Classic. He was really driving the ball. And, you know, so he's probably working on some things here and there. And I did wonder if maybe he's got any lingering effects or anything going on. And I asked Bruce Bochy about that yesterday. And he said Buster's going to get it going. He really seemed very confident that you know, maybe you're not going to see, I don't think we're ever going to see him hit 25 homers like he did in his MVP season. But, you know, I think they're reasonably confident that this is a guy who can hit close to 20 homers for him and can, you know, knock in 80, 85 runs out of that cleanup spot, which is about what you expect with this lineup and this ballpark. But yeah, you're right. We haven't seen the kind of extra base power from him. And because they really want Brandon Belt to focus on being a really good on-base guy, which they know he can dependably be, they've got him hitting up in the order. It means somebody's going to have to knock in the runs on this team. And right now it's Christian Arroyo. So, but getting Posey going and getting him hitting the ball with authority, getting the ball, you know, a little more in the air and hitting it in the gaps and out of the park on occasion, that is going to be important. This offense is going to need that, you know, at certain points this season.
Well, they got the spark plug this week, Andy, and I appreciate you being on your day off. And it's
no
great.
Doubt.
We'll see you tomorrow. Are you coming out tomorrow?
Nope, I will. I'm getting rested up for this longest road trip of the year. L.A.,
right.
Cincinnati,
Dodgers,
and New York.
Dodgers, Cincinnati, and New York. Very good.
Andy, how many full weekends do you get off over the course of the 26-week season, Saturday and Sunday?
Probably pretty rare that I would get a weekend off. I mean, the way it works is, you know, we basically, I'll end up covering about 130 games, mm-hmm. and I'll do all the road games. I'm missing one trip this year for a family thing,
okay.
The Pittsburgh Detroit trip, I think, but mostly I make every road trip, and then I'll cover about 2/3 of the home games, and then we have the intrepid Carl Stewart and Dan Brown and today Curtis Peschelka and other folks on our staff who do a great job filling in and making sure we're covered, so I'm not working 7 days a week every week.
All right,
that's kind of the way we work it.
Extra bags with two G's. Andy, thank you so much as always. I appreciate the time.
Thanks,
thank
Andy.
You.
Thank you, fellas. Have a great one.
All right, that is Andy. Very generous with his.
No,
time.
That's cool
very
on his
generous.
We on his day off. They don't get these writers don't get a lot of days off during the season. And I got to tell you, I love Bruce Jenkins as much as I love any writer in America. But the Mercury News, they're pounding it. They're pounding the pavement, doing big time work down there. Respect.